Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
And the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I have a question I want you to think about. What is one of the main signs that is common among all living things? There are many, but there's one that I want to focus on today. Among all living things, whether it's plant, bird, animal, or human. And the thing I want to talk about, which is that if it's alive, it grows. Growth. If it's alive, it's growth. If it ain't growing, it's not alive. Not sure everything has its own limitations and rates of growth. You know, a whale, you know, will be born this size, then it will end up being maybe the size of the half of this building. A flea or a gnat might grow from something microscopic to something still somewhat microscopic. So, and at different rates, at different speeds, at different limits, but they all grow because they're alive. The same is true with our spiritual life. If I am spiritually growing, then I am spiritually alive. And if I am not growing spiritually, then I'm sorry to say, I am spiritually dead. When it comes to spirituality, there's no plateau. There's no point where you can get to a point where you just stop and kind of rest or take a break or reach, you know, that limit of growth that you're supposed to reach. The best analogy, I kept thinking of what to liken our spiritual life to, and the best thing I could think of is, maybe some of y'all are doing a lot of Christmas shopping right now in the malls, and you know, all the malls now have escalators. You know what escalators are, right? Those moving stairs. And a lot of times, what do you see the little kids doing? Sometimes in airports. They go on the escalator that's coming down, and they try to climb it up to see if they can reach the top faster than the rate of this escalator. This is, in my eyes, exactly like our spiritual life. We are, the Bible tells us the world is going downhill. And it tells us even at the end when the Lord comes, is He even going to find any who are still righteous, who are still faithful? So the Bible tells us, yani, you talk to people, you know, in this generation, talk to your fathers, your grandparents, and stuff, and they'll say, oh boy, those were the old good old days, look at it now. 20, 50, 100 years from now, we're going to say, oh boy, these were the good old days. You know, I wish we can go back to this. Can you imagine? So the Bible tells us the world is going downhill, just like this downward escalator. Unfortunately, we're in the world. Where are we going to go? We're not in paradise. We're not somewhere else in the universe in vacuum. We're subject to the gravity of the world. We are, like it or not, on this escalator. Okay? So think of the escalator in the mall. If I get on the escalator and I climb it, but at a really slow rate that is slower than the decline of the escalator, am I going to go up? I'm going to go back down. If I climb the escalator nice and a decent pace and stuff and I go up and then I get tired, I get distracted and look around a little bit, I, for whatever reason, I take a break or I slow down, what's going to happen? I'll come back down again. The only way to keep climbing up this escalator is I have to keep climbing it until my last breath and to keep climbing it at a rate that is faster than the rate of the decline. You with me? Okay. Otherwise, my efforts are futile. So, we don't really have any options as far as spirituality. We must grow spiritually. And we must grow spiritually at a rate that is faster than the decline of the world. Otherwise, we're going down with it. I love one of the quotes I heard. I don't know if it was a church father or just some really smart dude. It said, any fish, if it's dead, will go downstream, will go with the flow. Only a live fish can go against the flow. Okay? If I'm going down with it, I'm going down with it, if you know what I mean. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us about how we need to be transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. From glory to glory, from glory to glory. It's like the escalator, from step to step, from step to step. We need to be transformed closer and closer and closer into the image of Christ. As Christians, we are called to be content and happy with whatever God provides for us, and wherever level or socioeconomic status, whatever we have and don't have, whatever our friends are or not, whatever, we're called to be content, right? Except for one thing, which is this, our spiritual growth. We shouldn't say, okay, it's good now, I can take a break. When it comes to spirituality, we should not be content. Don't ever be satisfied with where you are spiritually. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, listen to this. He said, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I remember a few months ago, I was talking with some beloved friends, and they were talking to me about the, during the commemoration of the saints, and they asked about Ambeb Shoy, and they go, how can you say he's the perfect man, the beloved of God, our good Savior? And I was telling them how, you know, he's perfect because not, he never sinned, but he always repented. And if you look at his life, he was perfect. And so you go, wait a minute. We all know none of us will be perfect. So why is our Lord telling us be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect? Is this a joke? Is it a trick? Is it cruelty? Why is he telling us something we cannot and ever attain? The reason is he wants us, it's not that he's asking us to be perfect like it says. He's asking us to pursue perfection, to keep climbing that escalator. He knows we're never going to reach the point where we say, okay, I am perfect. It can't happen. But he wants us to always be mindful of this and to always to pursue being perfect. He wants us to continue pursuing perfection until our last breath. The good news is that, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this, that if I take a step, if I grow spiritually a little bit, I'm not going to be satisfied with where I am spiritually. And actually, one of the signs of spiritual growth is dissatisfaction with my spiritual condition. Dissatisfaction in action. Because I could be dissatisfied and don't do diddly and just appease my conscience because I'm like, oh, I'm so bad and I'm not doing anything. But that's not. And you'll notice that as you get closer to God, you're like, it's like you're itching. You're like, you're so dissatisfied with yourself and you want to grow more and more. So it kind of happens naturally. It's actually a good sign. And the opposite is true. If you think you're, well, I'm doing okay spiritually, you know, that could be a bad sign. Today, in today's passage, it's in Mark 10. It gave us a really nice example of a person who actually lived life this way, which is the rich young ruler. The young rich ruler. I don't know what the right order is. Usually when we think of a story, all we remember about this man is what? The last interaction. He went away sorrowful because he was rich. We're so good at this. But we missed so much in this story. Let's look at this person and see if he was climbing up the escalator or going down or what he was doing. Verse 17, it's Mark 10. It says, now he was going out, he, the Lord, was going out on the road. One came running. Pause. Right away, this tells us something. He came running. Number one, this is a priority for him. This is important. The last time I ran, I was in A&M almost 30 years ago, was to catch a bus. Not a person who runs so much. But when do we run other than yani exercising? There's something important. There's something that's a priority for us. There's something that we want to get to quickly. it's priority and important and urgent. I want to get there now. I want to do something quickly. So from the get-go, we need to make this a priority, our spiritual growth. If we go through our spiritual life taking things lackadaisically, what do I mean? We go to church some of the times, or most of the times. When we go to church, we don't always show up from the beginning. My confession is a couple of times a year, maybe, if any. Sometimes praying, sometimes not, sometimes reading the Bible, sometimes not. Yani, it's, I do it when I can, if I can, if I don't have anything else that's more important, if I feel like it, if. It is not something I run to because my life depends on it. So, number one, he came running. We're still in verse 17. It says he came running, this is number two, and knelt before him. What's the title? We don't even know his name, but we know his title. He was a rich, young, what? Ruler. Not person, not trader, not businessman, ruler. This guy was a governor. He had some high position here. And of course, we know our Lord is walking in the street. There's tons of people around him. Doesn't matter. Okay? He ran to him and he knelt. We need humility. Without it, there's not going to be spiritual growth. Pride is the most powerful antithesis to spiritual growth. I mean, if I think I got it going on spiritually, why will I work on anything and grow, right? Naturally, it makes sense. It's just mathematical. God can't stand pride. And we've seen this many times. We know, like, he gave it, man, to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, hypocrites, because of their pride. And he hates pride because it's the most powerful enemy to spiritual growth. And therefore, it's the most powerful enemy that stands against our salvation. That's Satan's fault, pride. And it all comes from pride. Like Proverbs tells us, pride comes before folly. Revelation 3:17, listen to this. This is our Lord now talking to those who are proud. Revelation 3:17. He said, because you say, you are the proud people, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. Nothing means nothing or no one, including God. I have need of nothing. And you don't know. Do you know that you are? And do you not know? Sorry, the English is a. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If you don't see those things, how are you going to try to see growth? So, my dear brethren, we need to humble ourselves. Like the verse says, humble yourself before the Lord. By humble ourselves, I'm not talking about we imitate when we see some of the sins, you know, doing like, I'm bad, I'm dirt, I'm a worm, I'm nothing. I'm, you know, no. It's actually not very hard to humble ourselves. All we have to do to humble ourselves is just look at ourselves as we really are. And said that when he will right away be humbled. And we will kneel before him. Let's go on. Number three, the verse again. It's verse 17. It says, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So number one is to make it an urgent priority. Number two is we need to humble ourselves. And number three is we have to ask God, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let's see, what do you know? We know. No, that's not what I mean. We can't rely on our own judgment because we are pros at fooling ourselves and deceiving ourselves. In the positive or the negative, some people have really terrible, poor self-images and don't realize how awesome they are. And we can't rely on our friends because they're humans too. They, you know, they may say, oh, tazayil ful, you're awesome. You don't need anything. You don't have to do anything. You're just perfect. And if you look at our friends, you know, they may be higher than us in something spiritually, and we may be higher than them in something spiritually. So it might not really bring any good results, just practically speaking. The one we need to ask is God. And yes, I know I've mentioned this verse several times before, but I'm going to mention it again, which is one of my favorite verses. And it's a key to many, many benefits, which is Psalm 139, 23, 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. Why am I lacking? And lead me in the way everlasting." This needs to be our motto every day, just to pray this and seeking and asking God to show us. And God will answer because He wants this. He's not wanting to pick on us. He wants salvation for us. And so salvation will come through this. So He wants it. God will answer us through many things, through the liturgy. And I know some of you felt it, through our Father of Confession or through spiritual elders, through maybe reading or watching the life of the saints, through prayer, through the Bible, our true mirror, as St. James said. Every once in a while, I heard this advice, and it's really awesome. It's recommended that every once in a while for all Christians to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is like the constitution for Christianity. This is like the new commandments, if you will. Just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and like put, okay, the sermon and me, and check each one and see how you're doing. That's number three, is ask God. Number four is, I think we've covered it already, which is to never, ever be satisfied with where you are spiritually, even if you have achieved much. Let's go back to the story and see what happened. This is verse 19. Our Lord answered him and told him, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And the young rich ruler answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Can you believe this? Even though he was a young man, all of these he already kept from his youth. All of them. Man, I'd be like happy with myself if I can keep one of them or two of them most of the time. And we know this is true, by the way. It's not an exaggeration because our Lord's response, he didn't like slam him and say, "No, wake up, you know, re-examine yourself. No, you're not." The Bible tells us our Lord gave him, it says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." He gave him a look of kind, gentle, like, "Bravo, Alik. That's awesome. I'm proud of you." Okay? And then to confirm this even more, our Lord told him what? He said to him, "One thing you lack." One thing. Yani, yes, you've all those, I agree. You've kept them from your youth. Bravo, Alik. But it's one thing you lack. One more. If you're like me, you're thinking now like, "Oh my goodness, only one thing? Where do I start?" Like, I'll tell you a funny story. Back, and I left Egypt when I was 9, back in the 70s. But before then, we would occasionally go visit my grandfather's house in El Baliana. And it was like an old four-story house. And on the roof was a flat roof. And they had that nice, you know, big brick oven. And they had two rooms in there. They had a chicken coop and a pigeon coop. This was like better than Nintendo 64, Xbox, whatever, for a little boy. Okay, I used to sneak up there, even though they told me not to, confession. And I used to get in there in the room and open the door quietly, and all the chickens, you know, are like quiet. I wanted so much with all my heart to just grab a chicken and just hold it, a live chicken, and just to look at it and, you know, oh boy, you're exploring. Did you ever try catching chickens before? You're like running all over and you think you grabbed one and then another one comes and it distracts you and you go in this way and all that stuff. It's like a, and even though it's full of chickens, you can't grab one. So frustrated. Running into the wall, stepping into stuff. This is not what we need to do, okay? We're not going to try to catch chickens here because we're not going to grab any. What we need to do instead, since we're on the animal theme, I like watching documentaries when I can, which hadn't happened in a while, but do you ever see like the documentaries of a lion hunting, you know, a tribal wildebeest or something? How do we see this video? There's a couple of trucks there with people and engines and cameras and all kinds of stuff going along with them like this. Does the lion even look at the truck? Uh-uh. What do the lions do? They examine the herd, okay? They look and they pick one. And that's it, man. You see, their eyes are like locked in, like the tires of a farm tractor. Like they're not gonna move to the right or the left. They picked one, and that's the one I'm going after. They might be other better ones, fatter ones, weaker ones, easier prey or whatever, but no. They pick one, and they're like locked in on that one. All kinds of things could happen around, and you see their heads go down, and the ears go down, and the eyes point, and they pick one, and they stick with that one. They focus on that one. And that's what we need to do. Don't hunt chickens. What we need to do is, you know, do all those things and humble ourselves and ask God, Lord, I know I have a bunch. Just tell me one thing that I'm lacking. And he will answer because he wants this. And again, it can come through Father confession, through prayers, and through the liturgy and all that stuff. God will answer you. Up to you. You can pick the biggest one, you can pick the hardest one, you can pick the first one, and just stick with it. Pick one thing. It could be love of money, reliance on money. It could be laziness, judging others, unforgiveness, self-absorbance, pride, impatience. I'm not going to sit here and list the whole list. If you ask, said the Uni, you will know the answer right away. What is the one thing that I need to focus on right now? And then once you find or decide what that is, maybe you can discuss it with your father through confession. Tackle it like it's like your life depends on it, because your eternal life does depend on it. Just attack this one. Forget all the others for now. Forget, their day will come. Okay, focus on this one thing. Read about it, pray about it, study about it, and work on it. This is going to be your hunt right now. It might take, since you're focused only on that one thing, it might take just a couple of weeks, it might take 2 months, it might take 2 years, but so what? So what? I think 2 years is worth eternity. We spend 2 months or 2 years on maybe a project or a career move or education, so even the more so we should spend this much or dedicate it to something that's that important. Remember, number one, the urgency, the priority. And once you've gotten it, once you've conquered it, once you've hunted that one and destroyed it and devoured it, okay, thank God and repeat steps 1 through 4. You've seen those instruction things or whatever, as you go down, programming or remote control or something like that. Once you reach this one, go back and repeat steps 1 through 4. That's what we need to do. So even though we do look negatively at this wrong Yichur Lord sometimes, I wish we can learn from him. He's awesome. The Bible doesn't tell us what ended up happening. It says he went away sorrowful. It's not going to be a fun experience when we discover the one thing. It's going to be like depressing, sad, down, whatever, fine. But don't get stuck there, because the escalator is moving. We're looking for on the negative and not at the positive. We need to look at the positive and not the negative. So we need to learn from this rich young man and do the 4 things. Give it urgent priority, like our life depends on it, because eternal life does depend on it. We need to humble yourself. Remember all the things where you come short of God's commandment. Remember getting familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Number 3, we need to ask God for help and guidance through many, many sources, as we've discussed. And number 4, we need to pick a new one thing that you lack. And man, go after it with all your might. And this way you will go from glory to glory. From glory to glory. Conquering one of those is glory, and it's awesome. And you will grow spiritually, which means you will be spiritually alive, because only the spiritually alive end up making it into eternal life. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.